In this second set of texts from the life of St. Antony, we will be concerned with two principal complexes or collections of ways in which the word asceticism is used, and that is, number one, chapters 8 through 10, what we might call the threshold of Antony's vocation into solitude, his discovery of the kind of purification that only happens when one enters into profound solitude, and then chapters 11 through 14, which is his realization and actual experience of it. Chapters 8 through 10 might be regarded as the prologue to this deep solitude, and it will seem rather strange to us because although Antony is still within the recognizable framework of an ascetical practice, of a spiritual discipline in his day, a monasticism that primarily lives at the edge of the local community, he is beginning to move away from it. But it's important for us to know that it's not so much moving away from civilization as it is moving toward a very strange and astonishing call from God. Athanasius describes it here in the second paragraph in a kind of fascinating and almost humorous way. The enemy could not endure Antony's discipline because if this worked, he would fill the desert with discipline, with spiritual striving, with this exercise, with asceticism. The whole notion of Antony choosing to live in the tombs, to withdraw into the tombs, has a profound psychological, spiritual, and social significance in his day. This is carrying God, carrying the gospel, carrying the faith of Christ into places where it could not have been imagined as possibly shining in the past. Into the tombs, which were decorated with the gods and goddesses of ancient Egypt, which represented idolatry and the old religion, which were sources of superstitious fear, which were regarded as the haunts of evil spirits, and particularly of the demons. It's precisely into this dangerous and God-forsaken territory that Antony initially moves, almost at danger to his life. And so in this section, chapters 8 through 10, he is beginning to carry his discipline into uncharted waters, into an unexpected place, into the darkness, the emptiness of places seemingly desolate and empty of God. And there we find, in chapter 9, that he learns the art of what we might call antiresis, that is to say, answering back demonic temptation with words from the scriptures. Antony says, I'm not intimidated by your beatings. Even if you inflict more, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. And then he sings, even if a camp is set against me, my heart will not fear. In the experience of carrying God to the forsaken place, the abandoned, desolate, demon-filled place, Antony discovers the practice of using the scriptures both to answer temptation and the chanting of the Psalms. This is a text taken from Psalm 26:3, which corresponds to and even gives us an insight into his discipline, his spiritual practice. He finds in the scriptures an answer to the challenges, the pain that he faces, even a rebuttal of the negativity and the struggle that he finds, and he also finds the joy and the consolation of the presence of God in chanting the biblical text. This form of asceticism is destined to be deepened and intensified. In a way, its summation is found in chapter 10, where he hears the answer of the voice of God. He stands now at the threshold of an even deeper form of training, and the demons vanish. His pain ceases, and having been attacked by demons in the forms of the ancient deities of Egypt, taking the forms of the animals that were worshipped in that religious tradition, he suddenly sees himself alone, but not alone. God is present in chapter 10 and says to him, Antony, I was here, but I waited to see you fight your best. In Greek, idein ton son agonisma. This is like the wrestler. I watched to see you wrestle. God is with Antony, observing Antony. Antony is engaging in his spiritual practice. This is what the practice was for. This is what the training was for. This carrying of God into the forsaken, desolate, demon-infested place, and the victory that only God can give, because God has been the very training itself. And it's fascinating then that in the paragraph, the last paragraph of this section, the one that begins, having heard this, Antony senses more power in his body than before. So this isn't just spiritual victory, it's about the whole self. Antony has carried his whole self, body and soul, into this experience of temptation and struggle, the exercise, the real exercise of what all of his training was for, and being reassured by God that God was with him in the struggle. Now, the second and even more important part of this text, as I mentioned in the introductory section to these chapters, is the description of Antony going into the distant fort and coming forth from it. Let us remember that this is the beginnings of Antony's unique contribution to monasticism. He goes into the deserted places. He carries this bringing the light of the gospel into the desolate place even a step further. He crosses the Nile, and at this point he has to figuratively and literally separate himself from his spiritual Abba, as we learn in chapter 11. His spiritual teacher says that there is no such custom, and so Antony sets off and finds the abandoned fort. And there he lives for 20 years, and engages, as we find in chapter 12, towards the bottom of that paragraph, that he undertook a long period of asceticism, engaging in spiritual training. So for Athanasius, what happens here in the fort is the summation, is in a very real sense the fruit of Antony's previous training and a deepening of what he's learned. And as we've seen, what happens is in its own way analogous to what happened in the tombs. He practices the chanting of the Psalms. He encounters all the demonic figures and forms that stand for the struggle with all that is most separated from God, both outside the self and within the self, and he counteracts all of these things with words from the scriptures and with his own experience of prayer. And now, after this 20-year solitude, if we then drop down to chapter 14, we discover that when he comes forth from the fort, Athanasius gives us a vision of Antony as the kind of person whose asceticism has yielded the fruit of being holos isos, completely balanced, and as we'll see, kata phusin, according to nature. Athanasius' theology is based on the notion of theosis, of divinization, that God can only save us, Christ can only save us, because he is God and can impart to us his own divine power, his own divinity. And Antony is the example of the Christian who has taken the training seriously that allows the person to show forth, even in their body and in their attitudes towards others, this power of theosis, of transformation. Notice at the beginning of chapter 14 that there are others who were eager and zealous to imitate his training, his practice, his asceticism, eager and zealous. The term zeal is particularly used, and even the term pathos. They are eager to engage in this practice themselves because of a yearning, because of an inner deep longing. And now Antony comes forth as one who has, in a most powerful way, looked within. Earlier he looked out to the example of the people in his parish to imitate them. That was the training he underwent. Now, after 20 years, he has been interiorly searching, looking within himself, and the result, if we drop down underneath the picture, is that he comes forth as if initiated in sacred mysteries, filled with the Spirit of God, and as I mentioned before, wholly balanced, holos isos, according to nature, kata phusin. And not only is Antony an example, but his example, as we saw, is something that others zealously desired to imitate. That's why they came to the fort and more or less dragged him out. And then if you drop down to chapter 15, this is literally repeated, Antony, through continuous conversations, increases the eagerness of those who are listening to him, and enkindles in them a love of asceticism. A fascinating phrase is used here, erota askeseos, an eros, a deep yearning and longing for this spiritual discipline and practice. And so again, we see that the way that Athanasius is using this term, the notion of ascesis, of asceticism, and making Antony the model of it, is extremely positive, is filled with desire and yearning, and holds the potential for the deepest kind of transformation that results from the act of salvation that we receive from Christ.